It's Thursday, the 16th of April, 2026, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you news of interest to our military and veterans community here in Arizona. Today we have news from our military news websites, as well as our veteran service organizations, their publications and news sites, and from the Veterans Administration. We'll begin with Stripes.com, the official website of the Stars and Stripes newspaper. First article from Stripes.com is from Wyatt Olson. A VA-sponsored committee wants to hear from vets with neurological conditions. This is from the 15th of April. The National Academies of Science, Engineering, and Medicine is seeking personal stories from veterans who developed certain neurodegenerative conditions after deploying to the Gulf War and post-9/11 conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq. A National Academies committee is conducting a review to determine the weight of the evidence indicating an association between 8 neurodegenerative conditions and substances veterans were commonly exposed to during those deployments, according to the organization's website. Based on the completed review, the committee will recommend areas for future primary studies or systematic reviews, the site states. The Department of Veterans Affairs is sponsoring the review. The committee is holding a pair of virtual listening sessions on May 20th and 21st. Veterans can register for them at events.nationalacademies.org/46672. That's events.nationalacademies.org/46672. Selected veterans will be invited to share brief reflections on their military service and lived experience with their condition, according to the website. Veterans will each have about 5 minutes to share their perspectives during the sessions, either live or through a pre-recorded video. The exposures being investigated include pesticides, jet fuels, solvents, heavy metals, PFAS, and particulate matter. Among the 8 neurological conditions being examined are Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease, which have become commonplace over the past few decades. But the committee is most interested in conditions much less familiar to the public. These are primary lateral sclerosis, which affects the brain cells that control body movements, myasthenia gravis, a chronic autoimmune neuromuscular disorder, peripheral neuropathy, which damages the body's peripheral nerves, transverse myelitis, an inflammation of part of the spinal cord, neuromyelitis optica, an autoimmune disorder that attacks optic nerves and the spinal cord, and inclusion body myositis, a progressive muscle-wasting disease. Linking neurological conditions to hazardous exposures is complex because of the lengthy time between the exposure and the onset of symptoms. By the time the condition manifests in a service member decades later, for example, determining what triggered the condition becomes nearly impossible. Epidemiologists and toxicologists are also challenged in determining the exposure level of any given service member. For example, vast numbers of U.S. troops were exposed to toxins and particulates from burn pits during deployments to the 1990-91 Gulf War and to Iraq and Afghanistan after 9/11. But measuring the degree to which a particular service member was exposed remains difficult to determine because none was fitted with personal sensors or real-time monitoring devices to provide a baseline of exposure. As evidence of an association between diseases and exposure accumulates over many years, the VA sometimes designates certain medical conditions as presumptive. That means the veteran becomes eligible for disability benefits because the VA will automatically assume the illness was caused by serving at a specific location or job where exposure was likely. The 2022 PACT Act expanded and extended eligibility for VA health care for veterans by, among other provisions, adding more than 20 additional presumptive conditions for burn pit exposure. And that's a VA-sponsored committee wants to hear from vets with neurological conditions. Next we have USS Gerald R. Ford breaks post-Vietnam carrier deployment record. This is by Allison Bath of Stars and Stripes from the 15th of April, Naples, Italy. The Navy's newest and largest aircraft carrier reached its 296th day of deployment Wednesday, setting a post-Vietnam War record. That nearly 10-month mark for USS Gerald R. Ford passes a previous record set by USS Abraham Lincoln, which finished a 295-day deployment in January 2020. The Navy said then that the Lincoln's was the longest carrier deployment in the post-Cold War era. The transfer of that title to Ford is the latest development in a whipsaw deployment that's seen the ship and its more than 4,500 embarked personnel on station in the Mediterranean, Caribbean, and Red Seas. It also included a shipboard fire that injured 3 sailors and displaced hundreds more. The blaze was unrelated to combat, Navy officials have said. In a statement Wednesday, Democrat Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia said he was grateful for how Ford's sailors had conducted themselves during their deployment. He added that he understood the sacrifices they've made over the last 10 months amid a twice extended deployment. They should be home with their loved ones, said Kaine, a member of the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Sea Power. Ford's new record may be bested yet. The carrier likely will go into a record-breaking 11th month of deployment, Admiral Daryl Caudill said recently. If that happens, the ship could eclipse some of the longest carrier deployments since 1964, including that of USS Midway, which was deployed for 332 days in 1972-73, according to USNI News data. USS Nimitz completed a nearly 11-month deployment in 2021 that included a pre-deployment quarantine due to COVID-19. In all, Nimitz saw some 263 days underway for national tasking, according to USNI. On Wednesday, Ford remained in the U.S. Naval Forces Europe, Africa, / U.S. 6th Fleet area of operations, a defense official said, on condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly. The NAVUR AF/ 6th Fleet operating area includes the eastern Mediterranean, where the carrier was spotted Monday on satellite images along with 3 destroyers and 2 supply vessels, according to a ship watcher. Ford left its home port in Norfolk, Virginia on June 24th for a routine deployment to Europe. In October, it was ordered from the Mediterranean to the Caribbean and was in the region for the capture and arrest of former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro in January. The carrier was presumably nearing the end of an 8-month deployment when it was ordered to the Middle East in February amid rising tensions with Iran. In early March, Ford entered the Red Sea, continuing its role in Operation Epic Fury, the joint U.S.-Israel campaign against Iran. After about a week later was the fire, which started in the ship's main laundry areas and displaced some 600 personnel. The injuries to the 3 sailors were not life-threatening. Ford then returned to naval support activity Souda Bay on the Greek island of Crete on March 23rd for an assessment and repairs, including rehabilitation of 7 berthing compartments. The Navy has offered few details about the fire, saying earlier this month that it remained under investigation. After a port visit to Split, Croatia, for scheduled maintenance and crew rest, the carrier resumed operations April 3rd. The Ford Carrier Strike Group includes Carrier Wing 8 and destroyers USS Winston S. Churchill and USS Mahan. Meanwhile, the aircraft carrier USS George H.W. Bush, which had been expected to relieve Ford, is operating along the southwestern coast of Africa, presumably heading to the Middle East. The route allows Bush to avoid transiting the Suez Canal and into the Red Sea under potential threat of Iran-backed Houthi militants. The Navy is building up its forces in the Persian Gulf as it enforces a blockade against Iran-linked ships and works to ensure that the Strait of Hormuz is clear of Iranian sea mines. The Bush Carrier Strike Group includes Carrier Wing 7 and destroyers USS Mason, USS Donald Cook, and USS Ross. And that's USS Gerald R. Ford breaks post-Vietnam carrier deployment record. Our next item is by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes. Five things to know in veterans' news, including gun ownership, pay push for doctors, and a VA clinic closure. This is from the 10th of April. The names of veterans submitted to a national database to keep them from owning firearms because they required fiduciaries to manage their benefits are now being removed, according to the National Rifle Association. The Department of Veterans Affairs announced in February it was ending a practice of reporting veterans who require money managers to an FBI database that screens and prohibits people from buying and possessing firearms. The NRA's Institute for Legislative Action is reporting that the VA and FBI are taking action to delete the names of veterans flagged as prohibited persons. Additionally, letters have begun being mailed to fiduciaries of affected beneficiaries, providing formal notice of the steps being taken to end this long-standing injustice, the NRA-ILA said. Senate Democrats press for higher pay for VA doctors. Top Democrat lawmakers on the House and Senate Veterans Affairs Committees are urging VA Secretary Doug Collins to use his authority to increase a $400,000 salary cap for VA doctors. Senator Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut and Representative Mark Tacano of California are demanding that Collins pay certain VA doctors in high-demand jobs more to recruit and retain them. During a hearing before the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee in May 2025, and again during a hearing before the House Veterans Affairs Committee in February 2026, you requested Congress provide the department with the flexibility to pay doctors above this $400,000 salary cap in order to better recruit and retain these critical employees. As such, we write to inform you Congress already provided VA with this authority over 1 year ago, yet you have failed to use it, the lawmakers said in a letter to Collins. Fiscal year 2025 marked the first time VA hired fewer physicians than it lost, the lawmakers said. VA is carefully considering how to distribute these 300 salary cap increases fairly. While the salary cap relief provided under the Dole Act will help alleviate some constraints in our system, it's not a panacea, as VA employs tens of thousands of doctors across the nation, said Quinn Slavin, VA press secretary. Steel across America to recognize anniversary of 9/11 attacks. A 16,000-pound steel beam pulled from the rubble of the World Trade Center will be featured in a traveling exhibit called Steel Across America to recognize the 25th anniversary of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks against the U.S., according to the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The tour launches May the 2nd in New York City and will travel to 35 stops in 21 states and the District of Columbia, according to the foundation. Thousands of service members, primarily New York National Guard soldiers and airmen, responded immediately to the World Trade Center after the 9/11 attacks, according to the Army. Stops for the traveling display include the USS Alabama Battleship Memorial, Park, Mobile, Alabama, on May 25th, the USS Arizona Memorial Gardens, Scottsdale, Arizona, on June 17th, the West LA Veterans Campus, West Los Angeles, California, on June 28th, and the National World War I Museum and Memorial, Kansas City, Missouri, August the 28th. For a complete list, you can go to t2t.org/ steel-across-america-connecting-a-nation. VFW seeks volunteers for annual Day of Service. A Day of Service sponsored by the Veterans of Foreign Wars will launch Saturday, May the 2nd, with veterans signing up to lead volunteer initiatives in their communities, the VFW said. VFW Day of Service showcases veterans banding together to make a difference in their communities. We spotlight the ongoing commitment of veterans who continue to lead lives of service, the organization said. VFW is asking veterans to host community service events throughout May. May marks the 5th anniversary of the VFW Day of Service, which is sponsored by Humana, USAA, CenterWell, and Loan Depot. To register an event and get resources, visit VFW Day of Service, and that's all one word, VFWDayOfService.org. VA clinic in Tennessee closing after chronic staff shortages. Republican lawmakers from Tennessee are urging the VA to clearly communicate to veterans and their families information on the pending closure of the VA clinic in McMinnville, Tennessee. Senators Marsha Blackburn and Bill Hagerty, along with Representative Scott Desjardins, sent a letter to the VA about its plans for shuttering the clinic at the end of day on May the 31st. The McMinnville VA clinic, which is operated by a third-party contracted staffing company, has faced significant staffing challenges for the last several years due to a lack of providers in the area, the VA said in a written statement. On average, each patient experienced changes in their assigned provider approximately 20 times over the past 5 years. The facility has been open, the VA said. Veterans are being contacted by the VA Tennessee Valley Healthcare System about options for moving their appointments and care, the VA said. Patients can expect to receive multiple notifications through phone calls, letters, emails, and secure messages, the VA said. And that's five things to know in veterans news, including gun ownership, pay push for doctors, and a VA clinic closure. Next, we have Army veteran who prosecuted Nazis awarded Congressional Gold Medal. This is by Svetlana Shkolnikova of Stars and Stripes from the 14th of April. Congress on Tuesday posthumously awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, one of the highest honors bestowed on civilians, to U.S. Army veteran Benjamin Ferenc for his work in investigating and prosecuting Nazi war criminals during the Nuremberg trials. The medal was presented to the family of Ferenc, who was the last surviving Nuremberg prosecutor when he died in 2023 at age 103. During the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum's annual Days of Remembrance commemoration at the U.S. Capitol. Mr. Ferenc was a tremendous force for good, a fierce New Yorker with a heart of gold and a backbone of steel, a man who saw the worst of humanity and spent the better part of a century fighting for the best of it, said Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, Democrat of New York, one of the lawmakers who lobbied for the award. Congress voted to bestow on Ferenc the medal in 2022, citing his role as chief prosecutor in the Einsatzgruppen case, which convicted 22 Nazis for unleashing mobile killing squads behind the Eastern Front, as well as his lifelong advocacy for international criminal justice and rule of law. A ceremony celebrating the approval of the award took place in Florida, where Ferenc lived several months before he died. On Tuesday, his family members were formally given the medal as members of Congress recounted Ferenc's life and accomplishments. Ferenc was born in a Transylvanian village in Romania in 1920 and immigrated to the U.S. with his family as an infant to escape anti-Jewish pogroms. He enlisted in the Army in 1943 after graduating from Harvard Law School, joining an anti-aircraft artillery battalion readying for D-Day. After landing in Normandy in 1944, he fought across France and Germany, receiving 5 battle stars. In the last stages of World War II, he was tasked with investigating newly liberated concentration camps to gather evidence of war crimes. One of his first experiences was at Buchenwald. He recalled in vivid detail the hungry reduced to scavenging for scraps and the countless bodies that lay like firewood, piled at the foot of furnaces that scattered that campus, said House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican of Louisiana. In records that Nazis meticulously kept, he uncovered the horrific scale of the crimes. By the time Ferenc finished, he had found evidence of more than 1 million deaths. He left military service at the end of 1945 at the rank of infantry sergeant and was soon recruited by the U.S. government to bring war criminals to justice through a series of trials held by Allied forces in Nuremberg, the city where Hitler had held massive Nazi rallies. After the Nuremberg trials ended, Ferenc fought for reparations for survivors of the Holocaust and other victims of Nazi Germany, and lobbied for the development of mechanisms to punish wars of aggression. His efforts contributed to the establishment of the International Criminal Court in 2002. Nuremberg taught me that creating a world of tolerance and compassion would be a long and arduous task, Ferenc said, according to his website. And I also learned that if we did not devote ourselves to developing effective world law, the same cruel mentality that made the Holocaust possible might one day destroy the entire human race. And that's Army veteran who prosecuted Nazis, awarded Congressional Gold Medal. We turn now to MilitaryTimes.com for this headline, Bill from Vets in Congress Would Keep Military Roles Open to Women. This is from the 14th of April by Hope Hodge Seck. As the Pentagon pursues a review of the effectiveness of women in ground combat roles, a group of lawmakers is promoting legislation that would enshrine in policy the ability for women to serve in those roles. Representative Chrissy Houlihan, a Pennsylvania Democrat and former Air Force officer, introduced the Women Add Resourcefulness and Resilience to Improve Operational Readiness, or WARRIOR Act, which would prohibit the military services from excluding service members from any occupational specialty, career field, or assignment on the basis of sex. Houlihan was joined by Representative Jason Crow, Democrat of Colorado, former Army Ranger and paratrooper, and Representative Maggie Goodlander, a Democrat of New Hampshire, a former Naval Intelligence Officer. Others among the 36 co-sponsors included Representatives Gil Cisneros, Democrat of California, Pat Ryan, Democrat of New York, Mike Thompson, Democrat of California, and Derek Tron, Democrat of California. All are military veterans. The bill, which lacks Republican sponsors, is explicitly described as a response to the Pentagon review and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth's comments casting doubt on the ability of women to perform in keeping with established standards in ground combat roles. The WARRIOR Act proactively affirms women's qualifications to serve in combat, according to a statement from Houlihan's office. The legislation amends outdated law from 1996 and 2006 to ensure that women are judged on their skills, performance, and the gender-neutral standards that women in combat are already meeting and exceeding. In doing so, the WARRIOR Act prevents any exclusion of women in our armed forces. In addition to prohibiting gender-based exclusion from jobs, the bill would require the Secretary of Defense to submit an annual report to the House and Senate Armed Services Committees outlining any changes to occupational standards enacted in the previous year, including a description of how such change predicts for performance of actual, regular, and recurring duties of a military occupational specialty. The report must also include how many members were involuntarily moved to new jobs or separated from the service for reasons other than discipline or pursuant to a sentence of a court-martial. It includes an 18-month evaluation period to add new job standards and creates categories designed to ensure that military occupational standards reflect job requirements, separating skill categories into technical, tactical, cognitive, and physical. The bill further calls for the Pentagon to provide the committees with a copy of the Combat Effectiveness Review, which originally was set to be completed by the Institute for Defense Analysis, but was just this month reassigned to Johns Hopkins University's Applied Physics Laboratory. According to an NPR analysis, about 4,500 female service members now serve in ground combat roles in the Army and Marine Corps. The lawmakers rolled out the legislation at the end of March, surrounded by leaders of a range of progressive veterans organizations, including those focused on supporting female and minority veterans. Since the founding of our nation, women have proudly and honorably served in defense of our country. This common sense update to gender-neutral occupational standard reflects what we already know to be true. Women are a force multiplier across the military. Kylanne Hunter, CEO of Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, said in a released statement. As the fastest growing group of recruits, ensuring women remain eligible to serve in all roles is not only grounded in science, it's essential to our national security. IAVA is encouraged to see standards that reflect both our nation's mission and the modern force that serves it, she concluded. At this point, there's been no proposal to reverse the military-wide policy that opened up combat roles to women in December 2015. Likewise, it's not precisely clear how the policy will follow Hegseth's dictum last September that women in combat roles meet the highest male standard. In a separate statement, Crow cited his experiences serving along female service members on deployments. When I deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, I served alongside badass women who risk their lives to protect our nation, he said. Anyone willing to put on the uniform and defend this country deserves our support. And this bill from vets in Congress would keep military roles open to women. Our next article is from the 14th of April from militarytimes.com. 100-year-old B-17 turret gunner knighted by France. This is by Claire Barrett. At 18 years old, Staff Sergeant Philip Bruce Cook flew 35 missions as a ball turret gunner in a B-17 Flying Fortress, tasked with fighting for air supremacy over occupied Europe. Now, more than 80 years after his last mission, Cook has received France's highest military award, becoming a Knight of the Legion of Honor. The 100-year-old South Carolina native received the National Order of the Legion of Honor on April the 9th from Anne-Laure Descongeres, the French Consul General, who noted, "Mr. Cook, you are a true hero. Your example gives us inspiration for the future, and your legacy provides a moral compass for generations to come." First established by Napoleon Bonaparte in May 1802, the order is the highest decoration in France and is divided into 5 degrees. Chevalier, Knight, Officer, Commandeur, Commander, Grand Officier, Grand Officer, and Grand Croix, the Grand Cross. Roughly 10,000 Americans have been awarded France's highest distinction, with most recipients being World War II veterans who played a role in liberating France. "There's no way I can even attempt to explain the feeling," Cook said at the ceremony. "As far as I'm concerned, I'm so unworthy. I want to be a representative of the people who didn't come back. They're the ones who paid the real sacrifice." For 3 years, from 1942 to 1945, daylight bombing runs by the 8th Flying Fortresses over Nazi Germany unleashed 697,000 tons of bombs. Of that total, more than 47,000 were from the 8th. Of that 47,000, the 379th Bomb Group, of which Cook was a part, dropped 26,459 tons. The effort to pry the claws of the Third Reich from Europe was met with deadly resistance, prompting torturous contemplation of one's own mortality while being confronted with casualty totals that by war's end would exceed 115,000 personnel from the U.S. Army Air Force. Despite such odds, Cook told the World War II Veterans History Project, "Anytime I got in that plane and we took off, I told myself, I'm coming home." That was my attitude. Enlisting in the U.S. Army Air Forces in 1943, Cook had dreams of becoming a P-38 fighter pilot. However, according to Cook's account in the World War II Veterans History Project, he washed out of cadet training for what the Army called a negative attitude regarding military aviation. Undeterred, the slender 138-pound Cook found his way back to aviation, this time as an aerial gunner in the belly of the four-engine bomber. To me, that was the most comfortable place in the plane. I was accustomed to that. I fit in it pretty good, Cook told ABC 25 Columbia. Flying with the 524th Bomb Squadron, the 379th Bomb Group, 8th Air Force out of Kimbolton, England, Cook participated in the bombings of enemy rail yards, airfields, factories, communication centers, synthetic fuel factories, rocket sites, and enemy troop concentrations within France, Germany, Czechoslovakia, and Holland. According to the South Carolina legislature, the 379th's combat record was the most successful of all the 8th Air Force heavy bomber groups. The unit held records as far as bomb tonnage dropped and exceeded all other United Kingdom-based bomb groups in the total number of missions flown, carrying out 330 missions between May 1943 and May 1945. Cook participated in the air cover during the Battle of France, bombing enemy positions from Normandy through the breakout at Saint-Lô, as well as during the Battle of the Bulge and the Allied assault across the Rhine River into Germany. "We'd bomb just about anything that would disrupt the German war effort," he explained to the Veterans Project. Cook flew his last mission, his 35th, on February 16, 1945, and was discharged in October of that year. The veteran returned home to Lexington, South Carolina, where he ran a jewelry store for more than 20 years before his retirement in 1983. "The Lord's just been good to me," said Cook at the ceremony last Thursday. "I have really enjoyed life, and I just thank the Lord for what he's done for me." And that's 100-year-old B-17 turret gunner knighted by France. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, either as it streams or at a time of your choosing. Or you can download the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or from the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Today I'd like to read this article from the American Legion magazine from April. "Dimensions of Treatment: Managing Parkinson's Disease Can Take Several Forms." This is by Mark L. Furst. Parkinson's disease, or PD, is a chronic neurological disease commonly referred to as a movement disorder caused by a loss of dopamine production in the brain. Classic motor symptoms include tremor during rest, stiff limbs, trouble moving or walking, and gait and balance problems that progress over time. Non-motor symptoms, including sleep disturbances, urinary dysfunction, constipation, swallowing problems, mood disorders, and cognitive deficits can also occur. More than 110,000 veterans with PD receive care through VA. The agency has 6 specialized Parkinson's disease research, education, and clinical centers, and more than 50 associated centers across the country to help patients manage their Parkinson's. You may qualify for benefits if you were exposed to Agent Orange or other toxins. Your diagnosis will be based on your medical history, current symptoms, and a physical exam. Key diagnostic criteria include slow movement plus at least one of the following symptoms: resting tremor, stiffness, rigidity, or balance issues. No single lab test confirms PD. An MRI and other brain scans or blood work can help rule out other conditions. Advanced tools that image your brain's dopamine function or a skin biopsy for PD-related proteins can support your diagnosis. Your personalized treatment plan may combine medication, lifestyle adjustments, exercise, therapy, and surgery. Levodopa and dopamine agonists such as pramipexole, Mirapex, and ropinirole, Requip, may reduce tremors, rigidity, and slow movement by replenishing or mimicking dopamine. Other medications support motor control and manage specific symptoms. You may receive deep brain stimulation when these no longer work. Exercising at least 2.5 hours a week can slow symptom progression. Aerobic activity, strength training, stretching, and balance exercises such as Tai Chi all provide benefits. Physical, occupational, and speech therapy can slow disease progression, address movement symptoms, improve your daily function, and enhance mood and mental health. Surgical treatments target tremor and motor fluctuations. A team-based approach that includes doctors, specialists, therapists, and care partners can help you overcome the challenges of living with Parkinson's. Mark First is a Brooklyn-based health and fitness writer. There are sidebars to this article. People with below average cardiorespiratory fitness face a 775% higher risk of experiencing anxiety spikes when confronted with stressful situations, according to studyfinds.org. Reporting on research conducted at the Federal University of Goiás. In other words, your fitness level might be just as important as your personality when it comes to handling life's curveballs, the article states. And they also say, they're here to help veterans with Parkinson's. Through the Parkinson's Foundation, you can find a vast library of free resources tailored to the veteran community. You can visit Parkinson's, parkinson.org/veterans. To learn about the specialized care and financial assistance available to many veterans with PD. You can explore free educational resources from the Parkinson's Foundation tailored to veterans with PD and their loved ones. Get connected to the Parkinson's community online and in your area. If you have questions, the PD information specialists are specially trained by the VA. You can call 1-800-4-PD-INFO, and that's 1-800-473-4636. And it's available in English and Spanish, open Monday through Friday. That article, Dimensions of Treatment, Managing Parkinson's Disease, can take several forms. Let's turn now to information from the Veterans Administration. And we'll start with a newsletter from the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System, Veterans Health Update. This is from the 13th of April. The VA Desert Pacific Healthcare announces new Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System Executive Director. The VISN 22 Interim Network Director is pleased to announce the appointment of Dr. Leslie T. Lockridge, DNPRN, as the new Executive Director of the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System, effective April 5, 2026. You can read more by checking out the news article, VA Desert Pacific Healthcare Announces New Medical Center Executive Director, on the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System website. And that is available at www.va.gov/Southern Arizona Healthcare, those are all separated by hyphens, Southern Arizona Healthcare, /stories/VA Desert Pacific Healthcare Network announces new medical center executive director. And it's fairly easy to get on www.va.gov and search for Southern Arizona Healthcare. Then you can track the article. They continue with Knowledge is Power, free online mental health courses. Self-paced mental health tools veterans can use anytime. If you're a veteran facing common challenges like managing anger, insomnia, or substance use, discover veteran training That's one word, veterantraining.va.gov. VA's award-winning online mental health resource designed just for you. To learn more, you can check out the article on news.va.gov and look for Knowledge is Power, free online mental health course, and that would be available by searching for health. There's a grant application now open for the SSG Fox Suicide Prevention Grant Program. This is the Staff Sergeant Fox Suicide Prevention Grant Program. Applications are open for eligible community-based organizations serving veterans. Grant applications are now open for the SSG Fox Suicide Prevention Grant Program. If your community-based organization provides suicide prevention services to veterans, you can see if you're eligible. The applications close on June the 12th, and they are available at www.mentalhealth.va.gov/SSGFOX-grants. In local news, today, the 16th, there is a Women Veteran Teletown Hall event. The theme, pelvic health. It will be from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. We invite you to participate in our virtual Teletown Hall. This invitation is open to all women veterans receiving care at the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system. During the event, we'll share the latest updates on pelvic health services and address your questions. The event will be streamed live at www.facebook.com/VA Tucson. That's one word, VATUCSON. Additionally, you can visit access.live/womenshealth. Again, women's health is one word. Or you can dial in at 833-380-0738. And again, virtual women veteran Teletown Hall, Thursday, April 16, 2026, from 5 to 6 p.m. It's open to all women veterans receiving care at the Southern Arizona Healthcare System. On May the 14th, a Thursday, they have Smilestones, rock painting for veterans. No experience is needed. All materials will be provided, and you can keep or share the stone. Again, this is May the 14th. At the Auditorium Building 4 from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. You are invited to create Smilestones at a special rock painting event for veterans in the auditorium located in Building 4 at the Tucson VA Medical Center on Thursday, May 14th, 11 to 1 p.m. No experience needed. Materials will be provided. Just bring your creativity and enjoy a relaxing, fun-filled break with your fellow veterans. The Veterans Health Fair will be Monday, May 18th at the Rose Garden Courtyard from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Your health matters. Join us to learn about the services the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system offers to care for you. And you can explore the many healthcare services, all designed to help veterans live stronger, healthier lives. Again, Rose Garden Courtyard, 10 to 1 p.m. On Monday, May 18th. The Veterans Mental Health Council. Veterans Mental Health Council, the mission is to improve VA mental health services. If you're interested in membership, the council meets virtually in person the first Wednesday of every month at 1 p.m. You can contact the council liaison at Tucson Veteran Mental Health Advisory Council. That's no spaces in that. Tucson Veteran Mental Health Advisory Council at va.gov. And they have a Facebook page, and that's at www.facebook.com/Veterans Mental Health Advisory Council. Again, all one word. And if you have questions, you can call 520-792-1450, extension 1-1375. If you're interested in improving the mental health services for veterans at the Southern Arizona VA healthcare system, The Mental Health Council mission is to improve those mental health services, and it meets virtually in person first Wednesday of the month at 1. For more information, you can contact the council liaison, and again, that address is Tucson Veteran Mental Health Advisory Council, no spaces, at va.gov. Then they have community events, the Arizona Trail Association Veterans Trail Work Volunteer Events. Veterans, did you know the Arizona Trail Association offers trail work volunteer events that are designed for veterans who want to improve the Arizona National Scenic Trail while spending time outdoors with their fellow veterans? For more information, check out aztrail.org/events-schedule, or you can contact Michael Chappie Chapel at Chappie, C-H-A-P-P-Y, at aztrail, one word, aztrail.org, or you can call 970-779-5740. There will be a veterans hiring event on Thursday, the 23rd of April, at 101 West Irvington Road, Tucson, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's open to veterans and the public. El Pueblo Activity Center. Free parking is available. Arizona job opportunities. There'll be OBSA on-site job interviews, possible contingency job offers, and state job search assistance. If you have questions, you can contact them at veterans, V-E-T-E-R-A-N-S, at azdoa.gov, and they can get you the link to the veterans hiring event registration. And again, that veterans hiring event is at 101 West Irvington Road, Tucson, April 23rd from 9 to 3. And that's the information from the Southern Arizona VA Healthcare System newsletter. Well, let's turn now to the news.va.gov website, and we have this article, Learn, Lead, Succeed, Education Support at VA. You can explore VA's education incentives, and this is from the 14th of April from VA Careers. Whether you're just starting your career, advancing your professional skills, or exploring new directions, education can unlock opportunity. At the Department of Veterans Affairs, employees, interns, and trainees have access to some of the most comprehensive education support programs in the nation, helping you grow while serving those who served. These employee benefits not only support your learning goals, but also strengthen VA's promise to deliver world-class care and services. My team is great and has worked with me to accommodate my school schedule, said lead intermediate care technician Evan Messige. And VA actually has a lot of really great programs to help you further your education and pay you a living stipend. Want to learn more about these programs? Scholarship and tuition assistance programs. VA offers several scholarship opportunities for students and employees pursuing education in high-need fields. Employee Incentive Scholarship Program, the EISP, helps cover the cost of continuing health care education while you serve veterans. The Health Professional Scholarship Program, or HPSP, provides scholarships for students training in health services disciplines in exchange for service at a VA facility after graduation. The National Nursing Education Initiative, NNEI, supports nurses advancing their academic credentials and clinical skills. The VA National Education for Employees Program, or VAN-EEP. They offer financial assistance to help employees complete clinical licensure or degree programs. These programs can cover tuition, fees, and even living expenses, empowering you to pursue your goals with less financial stress. Continuous learning and professional development. Learning doesn't stop with a degree. VA encourages continuous education through multiple platforms that help employees stay at the top of their fields. The Employee Education System, EES, partners with accrediting bodies to offer workforce education and training tailored to VA roles. The VA Knowledge Network, a digital satellite system delivering learning opportunities 24/7 so you can grow your skills whenever and wherever you are. Partnerships with colleges and universities. Many VA facilities will pay for full or part-time coursework at nearby schools, giving you flexibility in how you pursue your education. These resources make it easier to continue your education while balancing work, family, and life. Invest in your future. A VA career is an investment in your future with financial assistance, training programs, career counseling, and access to cutting-edge learning tools. VA education support gives you more than a job. It gives you a path forward. Be empowered to provide better care, serve with excellence, and grow your career today. And you can learn more at VA Careers. And that's at vacareers, one word, .va.gov. That article, Learn, Lead, and Succeed, Education Support at VA. Our next article from news.va.gov. Notice a proposed settlement agreement for VA benefits claimants whose timely substantive appeals have not been processed. This is from the 15th of April from the VA Office of General Counsel. On March 18, 2026, the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims certified the Freund v. Collins lawsuit, Freund, as a class action. The court also appointed counsel to represent the certified class's interests, or class counsel. The Freund lawsuit's parties have filed a proposed class-wide settlement agreement, which is the proposed class settlement, which the court will review to ensure that it is fair, reasonable, and adequate. If the court approves the proposed class settlement, the settlement's terms will bind VA and all of the certified class's members. The court ordered the VA to provide notice of the proposed class settlement and of class members' right to object to it if they believe the proposed class settlement's terms to be unfair, unreasonable, or inadequate. Does this notice pertain to me? The class that the court certified in Freund consists of all claimants with an appeal file in the Veterans Appeals Control and Locator System, the VACOLS, that has been closed in the period between December 12, 1990 and February 6, 2025, due to the lack of a timely filed substantive appeal and which appeal remains closed. This means that you're a Freund class member if you're a VA benefits claimant whose case was closed between December 12, 1990 and February 6, 2025 on grounds that you did not file a timely substantive appeal and your case is still closed, original claimant. Alternatively, you are a class member if you've substituted or are eligible to substitute in as claimant for a class member, substitute claimant. If you are a Freund class member, this notice pertains to you. What is VACOLS? VACOLS is an electronic database for VA to track and to control benefits claimants' appeals in VA's legacy system. What is a substantive appeal? A substantive appeal is a filing that a claimant could make in VA's legacy system. It permitted the claimant to appeal benefits decision to VA's highest tribunal, the Board of Veterans Appeals, or Board. What is a substantive appeal? A substantive appeal is a filing that a claimant could make in VA's legacy system. It permitted the claimant to appeal benefits decisions to VA's highest tribunal, the Board of Veterans Appeals, or Board. The substantive appeal's place in VA's legacy system was as follows. If a claimant notified VA that the claimant disagreed with a benefits decision, VA generally had to issue a statement of the case summarizing the evidence, applicable laws, and reasons for VA's determinations with respect to which the claimant expressed disagreement. If the claimant desired board review after receiving the statement of the case, the claimant generally had to file a document with VA communicating that desire within either 1 year of the date of VA's initial decision or 60 days from the date of the statement of the case. That filing was the substantive appeal. Notes. The Freund class definition only refers to substantive appeals, not any other VA filings. This means that substantive appeals are the only kind of VA filing that would cause any individual to be a Freund class member. The substantive appeal is a filing specific to VA's legacy appeal system and was made in response to a statement of the case within either 1 year of the date of VA's initial decision or 60 days from the date of the statement of the case. For a claim to be within VA's legacy appeal system, VA must have issued its initial decision regarding the claim before February 19, 2019. This means that you, or if you are a substitute claimant, then the original claimant, only would have filed a substantive appeal if the claim was initially decided before February 19, 2019 and led to a statement of the case. If the claim is within VA's newer appeals system, the Veterans Appeals Improvement and Modernization Act of 2017, or AMA system, or otherwise is not led to a statement of the case, then the claim is not one that would cause any individual to be a Freund class member. What's a proposed class settlement? In connection with the Freund lawsuit, VA has attempted to identify potential class members. VA has done so using a search methodology that class counsel has reviewed on class members' behalf. Under the proposed class settlement, VA would take certain actions with respect to closed appeal files that it identified when searching for potential class members. VA also would take the same actions with respect to additional individuals who come forward as Freund class members. In particular, under the proposed class settlement, VA would manually review in search of timely substantive appeals each of 28,258 appeals files that VA has identified as being closed while having one or more documents that a VA system of records, the Veterans Benefits Management System, VBMS, indicates as potentially having a timely substantive appeal. Reactivate each such appeal file that contains a timely substantive appeal and notify the claimant of each such reactivation. Complete these actions in under 18 months and process the reactivated cases expeditiously. This article continues, but unfortunately we've run out of time. And if you are someone who has an appeal that might be considered as part of this, it would be good to get with a veteran service organization such as the VFW for assistance in processing that claim. This article, Notice of Proposed Settlement Agreement for VA Benefits Claimants Whose Timely Substantive Appeals Have Not Been Processed. You've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona app, which is available on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, and you can listen to Sun Sounds streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.